The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Should potential employees be asked for so-called diversity data? New research published by recruitment firm Hayes Ireland reveals that 44% of public sector organisations are more likely to ask for diversity data compared to just 19% of private sector organisations. So what is diversity data and why are companies asking for it? Maureen Lynch is Managing Director of Hayes in Ireland and she joins me now. Maureen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What do we mean by diversity data?
Diversity data essentially is the makeup of who we are as a society. So that's everything from gender, age, socioeconomic background, religion, sexual orientation, but it's who we are.
Okay. And you found that almost a half, 44% of public sector companies ask for this. Why?
They do indeed. And it's very much, I suppose, organisations normally, they absolutely, within their internal, their current employee, ask for data to understand who the organisation is, to make up of the organisation. So this is a progression of that, where now public sectors, for example, in this instance, 44% are asking at the application process. And that's very much, it's a key focus to understand and to seek and how they're going to progress their DE and inclusion initiatives and build out a more diverse workplace. Because we do know, okay, when from the, you know, DE&I spoken about, I know from my experience, well over 12, 13 years looking at this, there's an acceptance it's absolutely the right thing to do. And as you know, as organisations, we should reflect the community that we serve, or, you know, who are our customers. But also the business case is very much there as well, that we know more diverse an organisation is, the more successful they are and the more likely they are to have more creative, innovative, productive, but also more likely to retain talent. And there is a lot of research out there, whether you look at McKinsey, PwC. And then I suppose the extension of that, while it's to retain talent, we are in an environment where we have got full employment and talent is really important to organisations in retailing that talent. But it's, you know, there's one step of creating that diverse environment. But the second part of that, you know, you can do as much as you want around that. But if they don't feel included, they will move on, or they won't be as engaged as you would hope them to be, hence not as productive. So that the extension of that then is, of course, understanding, you know, the environment or the population, your employment, who your employees are, then creating an environment where they feel that they're very much, they belong to the organisations, the policies are relevant. And as an extension of that, they are more engaged, more productive and more likely to stay with you as an organisation.
First of all, what do employees think when they're asked these questions, or do we know?
For the most part, 77% of professionals said they're very happy to provide personal data. However, 53% of them said they would be more open to sharing their diversity data at the application process if they understood exactly how the information would be, how it's going to be used. And I suppose then it's back to the employer to be very clear around their intention around that data and how it's going to be used. And essentially, it is to make it clear that it is about progressing their DE&I agenda. To support, I would suggest for, as an employer, if you were asking for diversity data at the application process, is to make sure that it's voluntary. Okay. Also, you give options, prefer not to say, and then ensure that it's, you know, very much that it's anonymous. You know, nobody's going to know about it, and it's not going to impact your application to a specific role.
Yeah. Now, why do so few, relatively speaking, private companies then opt to collect that data?
Yeah, that's quite interesting. That, you know, definitely public sector are leading the way, and only one in five organisations and private sector organisations are currently collecting that data. Now, if you look at the breakdown of that, almost a third of those are large organisations, so it's lesser within SMEs. I would suggest, without speaking on their behalf, potentially they haven't progressed to that stage yet. It's quite common now that organisations collect diversity data within their current workforce, okay, and continue to do so. And back to my, you know, what I said earlier, is to understand the makeup. So essentially that making sure that firstly that they've the policies and that it's the organisation is set up to support people from different backgrounds. And again, you know, we understand certain things, or we see, you know, if you've got children, but, you know, an individual might be a carer. And, you know, that might not be obvious to an employer, but then understanding that. But back to the collection at the beginning, I would suggest they just, organisations haven't got that far yet. But is it becoming more of a norm? Absolutely it is.
Now, the kind of questions you're talking about, you know, your ethnicity, your gender and so on, marital status?
Yes.
So I'm not employing her. She's of a certain age. She's going to go missing to have two or three babies. That's the kind of thing people would be fearful of, that a decision would be made on that basis.
But it's completely anonymous. So you don't know that's the case for that individual. And as you know, it's within in an interview, or you cannot ask that question. So this is, of course, completely anonymous when these questions are being asked.
They put this notice on a lot of certainly the public companies. We are an equal opportunity employer, but you know, all things being equal, the best candidate, not you know, the most ethnically appropriate candidate, should get the job.
It'll
if you're an equal opportunity employer.
Yeah, it'll always be the best candidate will get the job. And again, back to it's always going to be anonymous. So it will not, you know, you'll never understand that as in that individual that's in front of you.
But how do you adjust then? How do you adjust if you're saying this is in pursuit of certain proportions within your organisation? Might be an organisation with 2,000 employees or whatever. So therefore, you've enough to look at all the different categories and give jobs in those categories. Then you say, well, I'm actually a bit shy on the LGBT section, so I need to employ more of those. Or I'm a bit shy on the non-nationals. I'm a bit shy on Kerry people. I need to employ more of those. Do you know, what use is this information if you're not going to act upon it and discriminate appropriately?
Well, there's no intention to discriminate.
No, but you know what I mean? If you're going to build up quotas that you're saying this is part of the ambition within the company, therefore you've got to go actively seeking people to fulfil the quotas once you've determined what your current ratios are.
And firstly, I would say it's not quotas, and it's not, and you're right, actually, it is about actually, are we reflective of the community that we serve? So, and that can be LGBTQ, that can be ethnic, it can be socioeconomic backgrounds. Again, remember the reason why, as well as the right thing to do as organisations and the makeup of the organisations. But again, the research is very clear, and this is not from us, it's external organisation, that the more diverse organisations are, and that is including everybody.
Yeah, no, I understand all of that.
Organisations. But it just once, if you wouldn't mind, I'll just finish.
Sure,
organisations, you know, often we are guilty of going to the same pool for the same talent. And as a result, then we're not reflective of the society, of the community that we are, the makeup. Ireland is becoming a much more, never more so, has it been as diverse as it is today. But are organisations reflective of that diversity? We have a population now coming into the world of work that is more diverse than it ever was before. And again, we've got a generation that expect to see the place of work that they go into reflecting the society that they live in and every day and they grew up in. And again, you know, it's actually about challenging organisations to make sure that they are moving and looking at the right talent pools.
I get all of that. I absolutely appreciate the ambition and so on. So you collect the data and you realise, as I said, you're a bit shy in certain categories. Then you have to go out recruiting those categories, which means not necessarily the best person is going to get the job, but the person who ticks the box.
Yeah. Well, I would tend to disagree. I disagree with you on that because it's always going to be the best person that gets the job. This is just making sure and challenging the organisation. Are you actually, when you're going out there, are you advertising in the same place all the time and the same place that you did 10 years ago? Or are you challenging yourself as an organisation that you are actually, you know, going out there and sourcing from different areas within, whether it's colleges, universities, you know, schools, DESH schools, whatever the case may be, challenging yourself to actually, you know, having advertising that job everywhere. So then when the funnel comes in, again, applications come in, they are more diverse as a result, and then you're more likely to hire. So you're actually giving people from all backgrounds more opportunity because now they're aware of your organisation. Now, part of that then, as an organisation, as well as making sure you're the pool, what does your website say? You know, how do you look to that external individuals from all backgrounds, and do they feel comfortable to apply to you? So there's a lot more angles. So this is, look, organisations are coming from a very positive place here. It is about doing the right thing, but also organisations are very aware that the more diverse they are, okay, I'm going back to that, they will be more successful because you're bringing that innovation of thought, collaboration, communication. And as I said, you know, the talent that's coming through today expect us as organisations to reflect the community that they live in.
I'll read you some of the texts coming in. Asking for this data when applying for work should be illegal, the same as asking one's age. In the SME tech world, we hire the best, as otherwise we go out of business. Every other criterion comes as a poor second, though we'll get airtime as it's, quote, the right thing to do. The data is GDPR questionable, especially for an organization one does not actually currently work for. Would turn me off applying for a job in the public sector, says another. We should never hire someone based on their race, gender or sexuality. We should always hire someone based on their ability. Talk about such a belittling exercise. This type of info is none of the business of these organisations. So our listeners anyway don't seem to agree with this notion of trawling for that information. And, you know, gathering information, you say it's anonymous, but you're asking people who don't yet work for the organisation for highly personal information.
Yeah, and they don't have to provide it. And your listener there in relation to, of course, there's legal obligations on all organisations and how they collect data, in particular in relation to GDPR as stated and the Data Protection Act. And organisations would be very aware that any breaches of this obviously would be liable. And but so, of course, you know, any organisation that's doing this are very aware of their obligations when it comes to data. And you know, as they said, it's absolutely voluntary. You do not have to, nobody has to provide this data. But it's just supporting organisations in their focus around progressing their DE&I agenda.
All right. Well, another text. Why do they need to collect diversity data if the best candidate is being selected for the job? More PC gone mad. Pick the best skilled candidate. Every other detail is irrelevant. It's not up to companies to reflect the community. It's their job to get the best people to be the most successful organisation at their business. That's from Brian in Dublin. And if you were a shareholder, that's what you'd want your company in which you have shares to do. Get the best and the brightest to maximise the share price.
It'll always be the best. Every organisation, their intention will be to hire the best person. But of course, it is about just giving them, making sure that that it's the right person, and you're just the funnel, that application process is as wide and is as open and as accessible to everyone within our society. Not just sometimes it can be, you know, it can be in particular areas. So it's all about making sure that we're open as possible. And back to the business case, you know, the research is there. The more diverse and inclusive organisations are, the more successful they are. So from that, we'll keep the shareholders happy, I'm sure.
All right. Maureen Lynch, Managing Director of Hays in Ireland. Maureen, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.